We want you to come back anytime that you can. And I don't know about you, but it seems to be a lot of talk every year about New Year's resolutions. And every year that I live, I tend to not put as much stock in them. Maybe you make New Year's resolutions, or maybe you've already made one and have already broken it in this short time period. But what I want to do this morning is I want to look at some common New Year's resolutions that people might make, and then from those kind of try to lift it to a spiritual plane of some spiritual resolutions that we can make. And so the first one I want to look at is often people have the New Year's resolution of losing weight. And I thought about Hebrews chapter 12, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We've all seen people that train maybe with weights as they run, and then when the time for competition comes, they would take those off. But I don't know, but I've never seen somebody competing in an athletic competition, you know, maybe somebody at the Olympics, put weights on in order to run the actual race. And we're not just practicing, we're not just training here. We are in a race for our eternal destinies. And we need to get rid of any weight that's going to take us away from the prize. I think it's easy for us to have one pet sin that we're not very good at controlling, that we're just going to say, well, I'll give the Lord everything else, but there's this one thing I'm going to keep. That's no sort of obedience. God wants us to cut all the weight and to run with patience this race that's set before us. I'm reminded of this story of in 1862, there's these men that left on a ship to go to Australia. And they're going to work there for a couple years and then come back. And they labored and they got a lot of gold. And so they returned after a couple of years. And their loved ones were waiting at the shore for them to come back to tell them of their wonderful journey and to share with them the wealth that they had acquired through digging for gold. But the night before they arrived, there was this great storm that came up on them. And as day broke, they had shipwrecked their boat near shore. And so a lot of the men didn't want to lose the gold that they had acquired. And so they would. The first man put all this gold around his waist and tried to tie it to his belt. And then he jumped into the sea and he thought he could swim to shore. But the extra weight just pulled him down and drowned him. And one after one, the men that were jumping the ship tried to do that, and they were just drowned in the depths of the sea. Until the last man looked at all that had happened, and he had a decision to make. He could try to take his gold with him and live a comfortable life or risk dying, or he could swim for shore without it, be broke, and live a poor life. And he decided that moment what was most important. And so he threw that gold into the depths of the sea, and he swam to be with his loved ones. It's very possible for us as we live our lives to try to get to heaven, but we're dragging this thing behind us that's causing us not to get there. 1 Peter chapter 2:11 says that we are strangers and pilgrims. We want to go to our homeland. And why are we trying to take something from this earth that's weighing us down and preventing us from getting there? Hebrews 11:16 talks about how we ought to desire a better country, a heavenly country. And so there's nothing on this earth, no matter what material thing it is or what lust or desire it might be, we've got to cut that out of our lives if we really want to go to heaven. And so maybe that's a good New Year's resolution, to cut yourself from the burden of sin and to live this New Year all the more determined that you're not going to allow a besetting sin to drag you down into the depths of despair and destruction.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not again to thy sparkling cup, trust always in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Closely related to the last one we talked about, some people want to exercise more. In fact, in the Bible, there's kind of a connection between these two. The word exercise is found twice in the Bible, and both of those come from a word, gymnazo, which has as its base somebody being naked or nude, in the sense that they would take things off in order to compete in those games. And so as we think about the idea of exercising, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, that bodily exercise profits little, but one that exercises himself to godliness, he has the promise of the life that is this life, the best of this life, and the life that is to come. And so what are we doing to try to really discipline ourselves, like Jordan was talking about, go through some things that are not pleasant sometimes in order to make sure that we're really exercising ourselves to godliness? Hebrews chapter 5:14 says that those mature Christians are those people that have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. They can make proper choices because they've trained themselves to know right from wrong. So how are you exercising yourself to godliness in this coming year?
Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide. account so sweet, purer in heart. Help me to be purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin, reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
This is the year that I'm going to get organized. I think a lot of people say that. And I don't know if you've seen the TV show Hoarders, but there are people out there that just clutter a bunch of stuff, pack it into their house year after year after year, and they never clean that out. What about our minds? Are our minds sometimes cluttered so that we can't really receive God's word the way that we ought to? Jesus said in Matthew 13:22 that there are some that fill their hearts with the cares and the troubles of this world, and it chokes out the word so that it can't really grow. I think about how he said to Martha that she was careful and troubled over many things in Luke 10:41. And many times that's the way we are. We might say that we have spiritual priorities, but we are thinking about what we're going to buy or what we're going to do here or there that just choke out our opportunity to really listen to God's word and practice it in our lives. Sometimes people clutter their minds with prejudice or tradition or false teaching. Jesus said to those prejudiced Jewish leaders of his day in John 8:37, "My word has found no place in you." See, they had cluttered it with their own pride and prejudice and tradition. And I think about how the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:7 that there are some that are ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They might read a lot of religious books, but they never really take time to go to God's word. They're always chasing after this teaching or that false teaching, and they never go to God's word. And then finally, I think about those people that I think all of us maybe do this from time to time, that they hoard up anger and resentment. Maybe as you think about their mind, just as you would bring in maybe a bunch of pictures and put them on the walls of your house, every time somebody does something wrong to them, they have a grudge against that person, and they hang that on every single wall of their house, and it's so cluttered that their mind is just filled with bitterness and resentment. And they hold on to that, all the wrongs that people have done for them to them all the way through all the years. And you know, the only way that those hoarders can get any help is to make a decision to get rid of that. And the only way that we can have really clear minds to focus on God's word is to make the decision to clear up our minds, to get all that stuff out and to really think on the things that we ought to. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's get our minds focused where they ought to be this coming year.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command.
Some people have the resolution of saving money, and I think about the values of different things, and what is more valuable than the soul? Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "What is man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think the way that we value different things depends maybe on who made it, or how long it's lasted, how old it is, or what its uses are. When you apply that to the soul, if you think about where did it come from? Well, God created it. How long is it going to last? Last forever. And you think about all of the capabilities of the soul, the good and the bad that could happen from it, and the striving that we do to possess it. And think about the precious price that was paid to redeem it, the blood of Jesus Christ, more than any amount of dollars and cents that we could ever think of. And so the most valuable thing that we could save this year is our soul and the souls of others. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul told that young preacher that was preaching God's word, he says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save yourself and those that hear you." And so maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel you need to by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Or maybe you have done that and you really haven't told anybody else about it. You aren't trying to save the souls of other people. The most important thing that you can do, the most valuable thing that you can save this year, is the souls of men. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think about the end of that chapter where Paul talks about how he said that they were his joy and crown at the Lord's appearing. You think about how he won those Thessalonians for Christ. And when Christ returns, he was going to lay that crown, the Thessalonian converts, at the feet of Jesus Christ, his Lord. The most precious thing he could have won for the Lord was souls. And that's what he took his delight in. And so, are you saving the souls of other people by teaching them the gospel, by being evangelistic this coming year? Maybe you can think about one person this year that you can influence throughout the year to obey the gospel and to become a Christian, that their souls might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Of one the Lord has made the race, through one has come the fall. Where sin has gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. Say not the heathen are at home, beyond we have no call. For why should we be blessed alone? The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. Received ye freely, freely give, from every land they call. Unless they hear, they cannot live, the gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Perhaps this year you have some career goal, something that you want to do in your work. I think about Luke chapter 12, where there is this ground of a rich man that brought forth plentifully. He had a bumper crop. And his decision of what he was going to do with that is he was going to tear down his barns because they couldn't contain all of the crop. He was going to build bigger barns, and he was going to say to his soul, take your ease, eat, drink, be merry, just live the rest of your life in ease. And sometimes we can think about that. If I just had this certain career goal, or if I could just get this certain job, then everything would be fine. Now, it's fine for us to try to do well for ourselves in life. But you know, that rich man in Luke 12, he had prepared all he could to live, but he hadn't prepared to die. In Luke 12, verse 21 says, so it is with somebody that is rich towards themselves here on earth, but does not lay up riches toward God. In the end, all that will matter is really how we've served our Lord while we're here on this earth. You remember in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14, Jesus tells the parable of a man that went to a far country and he gave his servants talents, that is, different amounts of money. He gave to one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. The 5-talent man gained 5 more. And he was blessed when the Lord returned. The 2-talent man, he wasn't expected to get 5, but he got 2 more. And he was blessed and given a reward as well. But that 1-talent man, maybe because he thought that he couldn't get 5 talents or 2 talents. I don't know exactly what the problem was, but he was afraid and he just hid his talent in the earth, and he didn't do anything with it. And so because of that, when the Lord came back, he was punished. And so God has given us talents according to our different abilities. He's given us wonderful opportunities in life to serve him and to serve other people. And we'll find no greater joy in life than to really serve other people and work for the Lord. You know, there's a lot of work that you might do that just turns out to be work for nothing. Somebody might invest a lot of money in something and then the stock market collapses or something. But you will never say that about work for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says that we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know this, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So if you work for the Lord, you're going to reap the benefits for it at the end of time.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
Maybe you've listened to all these resolutions and you've said, well, a lot of this seems just like a bunch of work, and I think what I'm going to do this year is just try to enjoy life more, you know, just try to make sure that I soak in every moment. We know the Bible actually points us to the way to enjoy life the most. If you just aim at earth, you're not going to get it. If you aim at heaven, you'll get heaven and earth together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him live a Christian life." He says there are various things here. Refrain your tongue from evil, not being speaking harsh words with other people, and your lips that they speak no guile, don't be deceitful. Shun evil and do good. seek peace and pursue or follow after it. And if you do those things, you'll have a nice, peaceable life that honors God and is a blessing to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Solomon tried all these different things in life to try to make himself happy. And the end of that book, he says in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, that we ought to fear God, keep his commandments, because that's the whole of man. And verse 14 says he's going to bring every work into judgment. But in all of that discovery, he said in chapter 9 that it is the simple things, the simple pleasures of life that God gives you as a Christian that are really the best things. And so Christianity is not against having a good life. It's just telling us the way we ought to live our lives in order to get the most out of this life and especially the life to come. And so if you really want to enjoy life, why not follow the Lord, put him first, and follow these things that are described here in 1 Peter 3, a quotation from Psalm 34, and you can have a happy life here and in the life to come.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today, press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way, he is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong, look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song, sing and be happy today.
Hope you've been reminded of things that we should think about. There's always a struggle in the church to get away from the physical, and we have to try to get back to the spiritual, and maybe we've done that. And I think these things that we have, what we're seeing, we really remind ourselves to be involved in what's being said and commit ourselves to it. But you know, no better commitment can be made than resolving to follow the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen in this coming year. I don't know if something's going to happen that will change me forever. But I've made the commitment that whatever takes place, I'm resolved to follow the Lord no matter what. Amen. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Like we mentioned, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is what you need to do in order to become a Christian. Maybe you haven't heard that before and you'd like to study on those things. We'd love to sit down with you and open up the Bible and show you how people in the Bible obeyed. That's how God expects us to obey the gospel for the first time initially. Maybe you've done those first things and you've wandered away. There's no greater time than now to come back and resolve to follow the Lord. If you need the prayers of the church because you've fallen away in a public way, we're here to help you. We're here to help one another to be more resolute in following the Lord. And so if you have a need, why not come? Why together we stand while we sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, and so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, great.